stand on our feet, our very own, our beloved associate pastor, Jay Patterson.
Love you too. That is not the page I was hoping to see. Give me one moment. Well, what a morning. That was some good worship. Thank you all who helped with that. I'm really pleased by that. As so often happens around here, this message is getting preached all morning, so I'll do my part. I'm hoping to cast a vision for you today about something I'd like to be doing off in the future, but it's going to take a little bit of context setting. So if you'd be willing to just go with me through some scriptures, and I want to give the backdrop for this, where we're going. You guys game for that? Okay, good. Doesn't matter because I'm going to do it anyway. But I'd like to discuss a particular pattern that we see in scripture and in our lives that's very important. It's a simple pattern, but it's extremely important to where we're going. So, at the end of the message, I'm going to present an opportunity for you all to participate in this and consider your participation in this in the future. So, the pattern that's very simple is this. God tells his people what he is going to do. He then carries out what he has told them he would do. And then he tells his people to watch, observe, share and tell about the things that he's done. Have you seen this pattern in Scripture? Have you seen this pattern in your own life? Okay, so we're going to bring that to life. Now, the title of this message is Testimony and Trajectory. And we're going to talk about how those things are linked in the course of this. So, I'm going to go back to a very foundational part of the Bible, back in Exodus. See, the people of Israel have a long history with the Lord. It goes way back, you know, even before Abraham. But Abraham, there's a covenant that was made. But once God dealt with Abraham, we have Isaac, we have Jacob, we have the 12 that are born, and then he raises them up into a nation inside the country of Egypt, right? But Exodus is really a critical launching point for the people of Israel. It is a significant part in their history, and it's also a significant part in our history as a people of faith that are in the family of God. So it's critical that we talk about Exodus. What's interesting is, and my wife and I have been talking about this recently, we're going through, you know, read the Bible in 1 year. And we're going through about the same time together in this. And what has really come to light in our minds is how frequently we see the story of Exodus come up throughout the Bible. It just keeps getting brought back up again. Oftentimes it's to encourage and say, hey, look what he's done. And other times it's actually there as an indictment against the people of Israel to say, look at what God has done and how far you've departed from this. But it's an important foundational story. So, when God did all these things for the people of Israel, he's setting for them a context for what he's wanting to work into their culture. So the stories are very particular and very clear. You can't, you know, when he did the things that he did, they're very obvious and overt. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So let's take a look at this. In Exodus 3, we'll start in Exodus 3, verses 10 and 11. This is Moses' time there at the burning bush when God gives him his initial call. He says to him, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" What's funny is that first step in the pattern, God tells us what he's going to do. There's a little subset in there that I didn't say before, and that's usually us saying, how are you supposed to do what you're telling me you're going to do? Who am I? Why are you going to do that through me? I have nothing. That's before he goes and does what he's going to do, right? So Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, Moses, 40 years prior to this, had fled Egypt because of the murder that he had committed there. And they said, who made you judge and ruler over us? When he was trying to straighten a disagreement out between some Israelites, he recognized what he had done, and he fled. And he spent 40 years out there in the desert. And he raised a family, he became a shepherd, and then he meets God. And God changes his life right there. And so he's still dealing with the initial call that God has called him to. So by the time we get to Exodus 6, when Moses has now spoken with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh didn't like what he had to say, and they're wanting to make, he now tells him you have to make bricks without straw, so now there's punishment on the people of Israel because of Moses bringing this word forward. Moses is really dejected, he's depressed, and he goes to God again. And then the Lord says to him, in Exodus 6, verse 1, then the Lord says to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. That's very different than what Moses is seeing at that point in time. Pharaoh is holding them there. He's standing in opposition to him. And God is now revealing a little bit more of his plan. He's going to drive them out of here. It's my mighty hand that's going to do this. He is going to actually be pushing you out at the end of this. He gives Moses the message for his own people at this point in time as well, but they don't listen to him because they've been steeped under this, this rule for their entire lives, for their history, all that they can see. And so they are just depressed and seeing what has happening to them. So Moses, again, becomes depressed about this and goes to God again. And he starts talking about his own weaknesses and his own failings again. How are you going to do this? I can't speak well. And we see again, God says, well, let's look at your brother. We're going to use him. So, Exodus 7, 1 through 5. See, God hasn't given up on his plan, regardless of where Moses is feeling about in this. Have you ever been there? God's talking about what he wants to do, and all you can see are your failings and your shortcomings. So Exodus 7, 1 through 5. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. There's something very specific. Again, he's revealing more. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am Lord, when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. So the plan is unfolding more and more before Moses. Soon following this, we enter into those plagues, right? The blood, the frogs, the gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the final plague, the firstborn. Or the firstborn of all Egypt, including the livestock, is taken. It's an escalating set of plagues. And in the first five plagues, it talks about Pharaoh's heart being hardened. But what's interesting there is it is talking about how Pharaoh is hardening his heart. When we get to the plague of the boils, it actually says explicitly, the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart at this point in time. And by the time we get to the locusts in Exodus 10, 1 through 2, we have a very interesting account from the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord. If you remember back in Exodus 7, he was talking about how the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And here he says, and you will know that I am the Lord. But we see a very particular instruction here. He starts talking transgenerationally about the future of the people of Israel. And he instructs them that, watch what's about to happen here, because I'm going to do something that is significant for you, And you are going to teach your children throughout the generations what happens here, because this is the context for how I work. This is the context for how I am your redeemer. This is the context for how I have victory in your lives, and I'm bigger than your oppressors. Okay? It's a significant statement. Out following this in other parts of Exodus, let's go into Exodus 12, 26 through 27. There's more instructions about our children. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Again, in Exodus 13, 8. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Exodus 13, 14 through 15. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. God is working a pattern into the people of Israel. He says, when your son asks, this is how you shall answer him. He's explicit in these things because it's critical at the beginning of any project that you have clearly defined plans and procedures and processes, right? Has anybody done project management? If you want something to be trained in the way it's supposed to go, you have to correctly adjudicate how you want those processes to go forward. So did this bear fruit? Did this activity bear fruit? Well, you're all here today, so clearly it did, right? What's interesting is, if you go all the way, fast forward, a long time into the future, when all this stuff has taken root, and there's a culture that's been born, and people have gone into slavery again and come back out of it, we have in Acts chapter 7, 35 and 36, Stephen now standing before those who are persecuting him. And he brings up this same stuff, goes back through the history of the Jewish people. And he says here, this is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush and led them out of Egypt and performed wondrous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. He's not talking to people who are unfamiliar with this story. They're working out of the exact same context. They had to memorize these scriptures. They had to know what was going on. They know their history. There's genealogies talking about who did what, both positive and negative. If you've been through Kings, you know there's a lot of guys that did really good stuff. There's a whole lot more that did a lot of really bad stuff. He was like Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who led the people astray, you know? There's those types of scriptures in there. And it's very important that God talks to us about what they did and what happened after, how far they were led astray. And the people of Israel know this history. It's worked into them. It's worked into their culture. So there's an importance in how we recount things. Thank you, technology. Computers are now talking to us. There's an importance in recounting history. There's an importance in recounting things because, like I said, it works into the fabric of our culture. When we have a common culture, we have common ground to discuss things and talk about things and understand what has happened and where we're going. History tells us where we have been and helps us to understand the course of our trajectory. Do I have any mathematicians in the room? Or people that had to study math for your degree? Okay. Yeah, there are some guys up there in the sound booth. Pastor is actually a closet mathematician, so. You need 3 points to make a curve, right? 2 points will make a straight line, but you need 3 points to talk about a curve. Ballistics is all about trajectories. You have an initial point. You have a point that talks about where the arc's going to start, and then you start to talk about how that thing's going to deteriorate over time or how it's going to go to direct it towards its target. History helps us understand our trajectory, and testimony is linked into that. When we hear the experiences that others have had with the Lord, it continues to set a context for us for who He is and how He works. It gives us hope to believe that He will show up for us in our own lives in significant and meaningful ways. Not exactly how He's done it for them, but if He's going to do it for them, He's going to do something for me as well. My level of expectancy is raised. It's firmly rooted in knowing that He can and will show up in ways that are difficult to imagine. Like we talked about that pattern. God saying what He's going to do, and then we say, I don't know, really? I'm not seeing how we breach that gap. He's the one who bridges the gap, not us. Something that was interesting as I was studying this, when God gives Abraham his initial call, and Abraham's really skittish about this, God says to him, I will do the work. I will be with you. Remember what He said to Caleb when Caleb was about to move forward? He says, fear not, I will be with you, just like I was with Abraham. Who's with you all the time? God is with you, just like He was with them. He's doing the work in your life. You get to participate in that work, but He's the one that does the work. When He says He's going to accomplish something, let Him accomplish it. He does it over and over and over again. There's some really great testimonies up here this morning. Barb, I loved your testimony. Barb came in here this morning with a different level of expectancy than most other people walked in here with today. She wants to lay hold of what God has in her life. She wants to be transformed into what He has called her to be. And to release that grace, not just for herself, but to others, so that they can know God as well. Powerful stuff. Talking about ministering to our kids. That's what this message is about today. Things don't stop with you. This is a transgenerational thing. We are heading somewhere. We're on a trajectory. You're not an island. You're not a single dot that is unlinked to anything else. You're on that line. Recognize that. Recognize it. See, God does what He does with intentionality. He desires for us to be impacted by the things He does and to share so others can learn from those experiences of what we had. He is about proving Himself to us time and time again and confirming and reconfirming that He is who He says He is. Over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum with just that monotonous ticking. I am, I am, I am. He's the God who was, who is, and is to come. He is the same yesterday, today, and that's right. When we see Him do something that He told us that He would do, and we didn't understand how He was going to do it, we get excited. Have you ever felt that? It brings to mind, who's seen the war room? Barb's seen the war room. Yes, God, you did it. You did it again, right? When He does what He says He's going to do, we say, yes, you did it again. I didn't understand it, but you did it. You love me. I know you love me. And you keep doing it, and the things you keep telling me you're going to do, you're going to do it. He keeps doing it. Always. Give Him the glory for what He does when He does it. You can give it to Him before He does it. Because He's going to do it again and again and again. Hallelujah. All the glory belongs to Him. All the glory. It's His. It's not yours. It's His. There are patterns, types, and shadows that He sets up for us. This issue of Him doing what He says He's going to do, and this issue of testimony, is about Him working into us that context of who He is. God bringing them up out of Egypt, crossing through the Red Sea, being out there in the desert, bringing them into the Promised Land, was not just about those events. Those are glorious events, but it wasn't just about those things. That's a significant thing, but it's not just about those things. Has He brought you out of Egypt? Has He brought you through the Red Sea? Has He brought you into a Promised Land? Has He provided for you in ways that don't make any sense? He does what He does, and He sets these contexts for us so that in the future, we can look back on those things and He can reveal the stuff that was hidden in those moments. He can just keep unpackaging it. My hope is 100 years from now, we're learning more things about what He did back in Egypt. Because He'll reveal more to us about that time. And it's something that gets released in that season. When He speaks and when He does, it just keeps going. And He's not done speaking. He has various celebrations and feasts and all the stuff that He works into the people of Israel. I mean, you have lambs that are slain at Passover and their blood is put over the doorpost. And for some reason, death doesn't touch God's people because they see the blood of the lamb that is covering them. And we can look now back across history and say, wait a second, there was the lamb that was slain. And we are covered by His blood. And you will not see death. You will not see the face of death if you are in Christ. Your body will perish, but your spirit lives on with Him. You don't see the face of death. If you're scared of death, don't be, if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, get in Christ. Look, you can have eternal life or eternal death. It's your choice. Eternal life is given freely through Christ Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. See, God's got this whole thing planned out. I'm going to talk a little bit about family history. I love how Jesse said, if you came in here today and it felt like home to you, you're home. This is family to you. That's important because we are family. I'm going to talk a little bit about my family. I like to do that a lot up here because it helps set a context for me, and I hope it enriches your lives as well. See, my parents, they used to talk to us a lot around the dinner table. If you don't eat dinner at a table with your family, I really encourage that you do. The TV is not a really good communicator. But when you sit around table with one another and you're breaking bread, and you're pouring each other drinks, and you're handing this and that and the other thing. You're not just learning social skills. You have an opportunity there to learn about your day, about what's going on in mom and dad's lives, what's going on in the kids' life. Families talk to one another, and oftentimes they share history together. My parents would talk to us about the regular stuff, about how they grew up and all those types of things, but they would also talk to us about what God was doing in their lives and the things that He had done in their lives. It was pretty cool. I didn't realize it at the time that wasn't normal, but that's what they did. And I've benefited from it because I can still remember hearing about God talking to my dad and him not listening, and God sending a mosquito at night to keep him awake because he wasn't listening to him. I remember those types of things. And they're part of my history now. Somewhere along the lines there, at a young age, I recognized I've got all these stories of my parents. Thank you, son. Thank you, young man. I've got all these stories of things that have happened to my parents' lives, and I've even shared them with people. Where are my stories? And I had some stories at that point in time, but I didn't have this treasure trove that they had. I recognized I should be having some stories too that I can share about myself, about what God has done in me, because those are important to my future. His God, their God is their God, but I want him to be my God too. You know, it wasn't just enough that I'd grown up in that home. I had to make a decision for myself that I was going to follow him as well. I wanted some of those God stories for me too. But see, I knew it was possible because this was the normal stuff. My parents had always put it before us that this is the normal stuff. See, he was speaking to them about things and they would tell us about that. He was giving them directions about things. He worked with them in particular ways. He gave them dreams. It was just part of what we had naturally. Parents, you have the opportunity to set that level of expectation before your kids. Grandparents, you have that opportunity as well. One of the most influential men in my father's life was his grandfather. I just learned another family story about my grandfather when I was talking to my dad this week that he just learned. My grandfather was a dairy farmer in Michigan, and somewhere around 1950, he'd already made $1 million. That's significant, right? A large dairy company in the region, who shall remain nameless, didn't like his competition. So they decided they were going to undercut him, and they did. They did some devious things to undercut him, and they set out there to sink him. They sunk him. Okay? In a matter of years, very shortly, he lost everything that he had in his business. Now, he was an honorable man. He paid off all those people that he had worked with, all his debts. So they weren't impacted by that. But how do you know? That's a hard thing to watch happen to somebody. Okay? But things changed. One Sunday, he went to church with 5 cents in his hand. It was his last 5 cents. And he went and he put that in the offering plate. My great-grandfather gave his last nickel back to the Lord, recognizing, you are my provision, and he put it in the plate. And that was the end of everything that he had built himself. How many of you know that things changed like that for him? Because God saw what he was willing to do. He gave everything that he had, the very last, and said, I'm still yours. And God blessed him. He never built things back to where they had been. But that didn't really matter anymore. Soon after that, my dad was born, and they became very good friends. He's the most influential man that has ever touched my father's life. Grandparents, you're important. These little kids are watching. My mother-in-law was in town this week, and we had a great time. My boys love their Nana. She's a superstar. I love their Nana. She's a superstar. You have a fantastic opportunity to sow into the lives of those that God's put directly in your care. My dad went out beyond that. My dad and mom have been receiving prophetic words like many of us have for years. And back then, they'd get them on a little tape. You know, you'd go to the presbytery, some guys would come through the church, and they would come and they'd deliver words to people. And it was stuff that helps you to understand what trajectory God has you on, right? My dad was very faithful to take all of those recordings and transcribe them. He wrote them down. And he saved them, and he would read them. And there were words that happened for our family at that point in time. And he would transcribe them and put them down in there. Words that came for us kids, he would transcribe them. A couple years ago, he gave them to us. This is the recorded family history of what God has said to my parents and things about us. I read through that. And there's things that God has said to my dad and my mom that are still applicable to Katie and I and to our boys and whoever he links them with in the future, their wives, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Our family is on a trajectory. This family is on a trajectory. Your family is on a trajectory. I'm thankful for what my dad did here. I have things to add to it now so that my boys can read that someday and recognize what it is that he has for us, particularly. There have been large decisions that we've had to make in our lives that I go back there and say, do I see evidence of this in here? Did he talk about that back then? I'm talking big decisions made on things that he released when I was 5 or 6 years old about me that didn't make any sense at that time, but he reveals the context. He reveals the particulars as you live out your life. We should be writing down what he says to us, not just for your benefit. It benefits you, but it benefits you. Your family lineage, the tree, they all know where things come from. There's history there. I love this verse from Habakkuk 2:2. If you've been through how to hear God's voice or communion or God or how to hear God's voice guaranteed or whatever the iteration of that it's been, right now Nikki's got that thing, and it's a phenomenal class. Who's been through that, by the way? Raise your hands. Okay. Then I know you've memorized this scripture. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. We learned it in there as then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. Then the one who reads it may run. Record it correctly so that when you're not there anymore to explain it, it's still there in black and white so that someone can take it and run with it. They don't have to wait for an explanation. They can take it where they're going and they can open it up and it's there. Just prior to that, Habakkuk talks about, I stood on the ramparts and I watched to see what he would say to me. There's something to be said about being diligent and faithful to look to the Lord and keep your antenna up and listen to what he's saying and guarding what's there to be guarded and being that source of observation, that source of revelation and insight for those that are under your care. My dad, my mom, they took those words that had been given to us kids and they nurtured them for us and they would bring them forward and they would talk to us over and over again. No, remember, you're a leader and God said this about you and he's going to do great things through you. I don't know what they are yet, but God's going to do great things through you. He didn't make you to act that way. Don't do that. Remember, call back to what God had said. My parents, they fostered those things. Parents, we get to foster those things so at some point we can hand it off to them and say, go. Go, run with this. Run with him. Let him take you where he's going to take you. Go. There's benefit from knowing the history. And when you've been cut off from that, all manner of things can happen. Let's talk about King Josiah really quick. Do you know the story of King Josiah? Israel had been straying all over the place, even erecting Asherah poles inside the temple of the Lord. There's all sorts of terrible things that happened, and it offended God greatly. And then King Josiah comes to the throne. He's very young, and sends word up to one of the priests to, you know, do some things with monies for he wanted to work on the temple and fix things up. And in that process, they found the law, and they send it back to him, and they say, "You might want to read this." And he reads it, and he. Now, listen, he had already inclined his heart toward the Lord, right? But he didn't know the peculiarities and the particulars of what he was supposed to do. And then it lands in his lap, in fertile ground. It landed, right? And he opens it up and he tears his clothes. He repents for his people before the Lord. He says, oh my God, what are we doing? We have come so far from this. And what does he do? He calls the people back. He destroys these shrines. He destroys all this stuff. He slaughters all sorts of bad people, burns bones and desecrates all these places, because he shows how radical he is to pursue God and do everything under his power and under his authority to realign this people with the purposes of God. And guess what? It's still not enough. Things have already been put into play. But God sees his heart and sees what he has done, and he delays what he's going to do so that he, Josiah, does not have to witness it with his own eyes. God honors him. Praise God. You know, he sends people to draw us back, but we have to have something that we're drawn to. We have to be realigned to things. Folks, record what he's saying to you. Record what he's doing in your life. Record what he's done. Think about the fresh things that he's doing in your lives. Bring those things forward. So, testimony and trajectory. We'll bring this back into this specific year that we're in, 2016. I preached here on January 3rd. I remember that video, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Remember we showed that? Wow. Every time I watch that thing, tears start welling up inside me. I can't help it. That video was there talking about how you're not supposed to be a slave to fear. You don't have to be any longer. God's already released you. But what has he released you to? What we talked about in that message is that fear and doubt are the things that cause us to not pursue the things that he's put before us. It's that second sub-step, remember? I'm going to do this. Really? Because I don't know how you're going to do that through me. Right? That's fear, that's doubt. When we mature in the Lord, we get to a point where he says, I'm going to do this thing. Yes, you are. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. All right? Do whatever you've got to do. If you got to kill me, kill me. Do whatever you got to do. So we talked about fear there. And what we were discussing in that is where we're heading in 2016. What the Lord had told me going into that is that 2016 is a year of new beginnings. Do you remember that? New beginnings, fresh things. I received a word that morning before I got on stage. I didn't share it. I ended up working it into what the Lord was saying because it was a confirming word. He said, basically, I'm giving you an open book. This isn't just a new chapter. This is a new book. There isn't history in this thing. You're starting on page one. Start writing with me. Start writing with me. You have an open book. There's huge blessing in that. I told you that the Lord's unfolding aspects of us that he built in and that he wants us to venture out into with him. That there's new textures to each of us to be revealed and explored. I brought to light that some of us were feeling an underlying sense of agitation, a general sense of unsettledness, and that we were open to things changing. Do you remember these things? Do you remember feeling that way? Do you still feel that way? I said that some of you have run out of other options, while others of you know that it's time for a shift, that the Lord was stirring our waters, and he was calling us to be, in the words of Gene Oliver, courageously foolish. Not for the sense of just being stupid, but courageously foolish. When we do the things that the Lord's called us to do, we might look like fools to the people that are around us, but we're following him. It takes courage to do the thing that is not understood by anyone else, and sometimes not even you. That he was going to allow us to attempt new things, that we're going to be facing our fears, we're going to be surrendering our will, and we would truly be getting to know him as Father and us as sons. That's what was brought forward in January. So where are we now? We're halfway through this year. It's time to take stock of what he's been doing. What have you been writing down about what he's been doing? What do you need to be writing down about what he's doing? What's he been talking to you about? If you look at this year, can you see situations that have come that they only moved forward because God was there with you? Where he initiated something that you didn't understand, and now you're starting to walk into it. Or you're on the complete other side of that thing. You can look back and you say, that was him right there. He changed everything at that instant, in that moment. Write those things down. I've got a few things myself. By the way, we're having a baby in 4 weeks, so that's a new beginning. That's a new beginning. And I'm very thankful. So why am I bringing this up now? I'm not going to leave it there. I told you at the beginning of this I was going to have an opportunity for you to participate in what God's doing in this year. My wife is a very wise woman. So I got done with that sermon. I was all excited about it. It's great. God did some amazing things today. She said, yes. You know what you should do? You should hold a service at the end of the year where we talk about the great things God did this year. That's a fantastic idea, sweetheart. She has great ideas. Most of you don't even know how impacted you've been by a lot of her great ideas. I'm serious. That video, guess who brought that video to my attention? My wife. She said, I think you might want to see this. And then when I couldn't talk because I was crying, I recognized she was right. Men, listen to your wives. They are a gift to you. So who wants to write a sermon? I don't see lots of hands being raised. Who wants to help? Hey, there we go. Who wants to help write a sermon? What I'm going to ask you guys to do is to start taking stock of what God has been doing this year. I'd like you to be diligent about this. Start writing down the things that he's doing. Write down those testimonies. I want you to send them to me. Can we put my email up here on screen? I'd like you to send them to me. You can start today, all the way up through to the end of the year. I'd like to have this sermon before we all go away for Christmas, back to wherever it is that we've gone to or come from. But I'd like us to have a time here where we bring forward to one another and report what God has done so that we can celebrate together as a family what he's doing in us and through us. These don't all have to be completed things, by the way, because testimony is oftentimes talking about things that he's going to do or he started. This book right here is 100% testimony. This is God reporting through us to us what he has done and what he is going to do and what he is doing. It's all right here. This is testimony. Testimony is powerful. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Prophecy. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. When we release what he's done, that grace is there to do it again. It's there to do more. It's there to multiply. We've seen that here many times. You've been here around here for a while, you've seen that. You're going to continue seeing it. So send me your testimonies because I'm looking to see what trajectory God is putting in the midst of that thing so we can shape it here and we can release that here together at the end of this year. Let's celebrate and glorify God for what he's been doing to us. All right? So, some guidelines. It has to be submitted, for one thing, okay? Please submit your testimony so that we can put it in the place that it needs to be in the midst of all of us up here sharing these things. You see, when we're able to orchestrate this thing, you can actually see what he's doing, all right? It brings order to that message. Also, there's no minimum length. Your testimony can be very short. God did this. Thank you very much. Praise God. But there's going to be a length limit so that we all have an opportunity to share. So don't write me a dissertation. A page or so is about as long as it really needs to be. I don't want anything longer than 2 pages. I'll just cut it off. And we'd like that thing to be complete, so don't do that. Focus on something that he has done new this year. And what are the fresh things that he's working on? Okay? What he did 5 years ago is wonderful and it's beautiful. If that's backstory to what he's doing this year, that's great. Make it short so that we can understand where you're going. But I want to hear what he's doing this year, because we need these fresh things to be before us. All right? I'm confident that this is going to be a very good sermon. And I'm not going to get to write most of it, so praise God. Okay. That's what I have for you today. Except there's one thing. 2 things. The first thing is this. If you're hearing this today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're hearing us talk about these crazy things, about all this planning that God has been doing and him orchestrating all of that, and you heard me talking about eternal death and eternal life, choose life. Choose life today. Some of this stuff may sound extremely foreign to you, but choose life today. God is my Savior, and he can be yours. He already paid the price. Follow him. If you've never done that, I'd like you to come up here this morning, and I'd love to pray with you and welcome you into his kingdom and into his family. Second thing, we're talking about new beginnings. Jason and Bethany Alvey are about to travel west for a new beginning. You know, in your life, you get to meet people, and your relationship with them grows in amazing ways. And you get to see them grow up and flourish in the Lord and move on to new things, the things that he's called them to. Two of those people in my life are Jason and Bethany Alvey. Jason was a very young teenager when I first got here. And it didn't take long to recognize that God had amazing things planned for him. I don't know if you used to talk to Jason when he was 15, but he was really about 35. It was a blessing to get to know him. He has impacted my life, my wife's life, and the life of our sons. And Bethany has done the same as well. While they've been here with us this summer, they've been involved. We've already released them from this place, in case you're interested. But whenever they come back, they always just bring more. And so we've all been blessed by them up here, worshiping on the worship team this morning, up here praying for you when you've needed prayer. They came here to be refreshed. I hope you have been, but you've been refreshing the rest of us while you've been here. There was a Sunday we were up here worshiping, and it was dead as a doornail in this place. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. And I remember thinking up here, you know, this is kind of like that time when Jason and Bethany were here and just popped in for a visit. We had really good worship that day. And then I look over to my right and they walked in. Now, that's significant. Take note of those things. There are people who carry a grace with them that has the ability to impact an atmosphere. These two carry a presence of the Lord that is unlike many others that I know. And I'm saying this to honor the work of God in their lives and for the efforts they have made to align themselves with his purposes. While you guys have been here, you've challenged me personally, and I've grown because of it. Thank you. We're going to be praying for them up here after service, by the way. So if you know them, please come up. We'd love for you to be blessing them as they head out west. So with that, please rise. All of our first-time guests, I'd like to release you to the hospitality room. Out by the front door, we as pastors would like to come and meet you and get to know you a little bit. Also, the altar is open, so if you need prayer, please come forward. We have people that are willing to pray for you. Or if you just need to do business with the Lord on your own, you're welcome to do that. Do we still have the VBS meeting after church today? Is it in an alcove? Or? Okay, so if you are part of the VBS ministry that's coming up, or you would like to be and help out working with that, Barb's going to be having a meeting over here in this alcove to my right, your left, very shortly after service. So please attend that. With that, bless you all. Father, we just thank you for what you've released here today. We thank you for the power of the testimony of what you have been doing since before the dawn of time and that we are in the confluence of, Lord. We just ask that you would bring to light the things that you are doing, Lord. Let it just come before us and help us, Lord, to have the words to articulate what you have done to us and through us. Lord, I ask that as we come together at the end of this year, we would have a bounty of your grace to release to one another. In Jesus' mighty name, I bless all these and all they represent. Amen.